What up, everybody? Welcome into Locked On Warriors. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. Got another good one for you today as the Warriors' new arena and facility get a little action. Klay Thompson has a sit-down with Marcus Thompson and our beginning of the Locked On Warriors roster review. That's all coming up next here on Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What up, everybody? Welcome into Locked On Warriors. I am your host, Charles T. Hamilton. What's good? I hope you all had a nice weekend getting ready for basketball season as we inch closer and closer. It is the middle of football season, but I still got hoops on my mind. I'm still just waiting. I know we all are, but we'll get there. I promise you we'll get there. But one thing that happened recently was the Chase Center's open. They've had a number of concerts there. I believe tonight is the first televised event they're having there. It's WWE TV. So, you know, you won't get a real feel for the arena. But one thing that did happen was Steph Curry took Rachel Nichols on a tour of the facilities, the team facilities. And they're pretty sweet. I mean, we got some looks at the old ones where I think it was what in the Oakland Marriott, like they had a weird setup before. Oracle was, look, we all love Oracle. I still love it, but it was run down. And then their facilities were at a different location in the middle of Oakland, which was just, I don't know, it was just odd. It was in the middle of, I think it was the Oakland Marriott where they had, would have conventions there and stuff like that. And it was different. It was very different. But now with the Chase Center, their facilities are on the property. So they're playing their games at the same place that they're practicing every day, which always makes way more sense to me. Even in the NFL, like I know that you can't practice on the same field that you're going to play on every day because they do other events at these stadiums. But like the Patriots, their practice field is right next door to the stadium. So, you know, it just never made sense to me that you practice somewhere other than where you play. But I know there's other logistics to it, so doesn't matter. But what does matter is that the Warriors don't have to do that anymore. And these new facilities are pretty sweet, I can't lie. And that's how I can tell. It's by comparison to the old place. The old place, when you saw it, you didn't think it was that bad. I mean, you could compare it to other teams who had new state-of-the-art stuff, and you could understand that, all right, it's not as nice, but it's not that bad. And then you see the brand-new facility that the Warriors have and the brand-new locker room. It by comparison, it's ridiculous. And the Warriors deserve it. All pro teams deserve the top-of-the-line facilities because, your players are your biggest investment, so you should take care of them in every way possible. But this locker room, it looks like college locker rooms, which I know is a weird thing to think of, but college locker rooms and facilities are way nicer than pro locker rooms and facilities because colleges don't have to pay their players. So they put all their money into their facilities, so they can also say they don't have any money, which is all bull. But as far as the Warriors are concerned, it does have that college feel, which is a great thing. They've got, you know, nap pods. They've got a huge locker room. And it definitely just has a different vibe to it. So I just wanted to mention that because it's a nice upgrade for the players. And even though I know some of them aren't too excited about the move to San Francisco, just because it kind of uproots their lives to an extent where, if you're living in the East Bay, which I know most of the players did, you're fighting traffic going over the Bay Bridge. So you might be moving. I know Steph moved recently to the South Bay. So it's a little easier for him to get there instead of coming from the East Bay. So I know players aren't ecstatic about it, but I know that these new facilities and the new arena will definitely help ease the pain of maybe having to deal with awful traffic or having to move. So just wanted to mention it. I suggest you all go check out the walkthrough Steph does with Rachel Nichols, because the place is sweet. The place is pretty awesome. Klay Thompson recently had a sit down with Marcus Thompson of The Athletic. No relation between the two. And Klay covers just about everything as far as his rehab that's coming up. He says he's about a month away from jogging, which, I mean, look, I've made jokes about seeing him on vacation and stuff, you know, seeing his posts and everyone. We're all of a sudden social media doctors as soon as it comes to an injured player. But again, we're not going to see Klay until after the All-Star break, regardless of how good he looks standing on his leg in a picture on Instagram. But he talks to Marcus Thompson about game six, just how locked in he was, how he knew he was going to be having the game that he had, the injury, Kevin Durant leaving. There's a lot of good little tidbits in there. I'm not going to cover all of it, but one interesting question he was asked and that he answered very honestly was, you know, does he think that the Warriors would have won if he had stayed healthy, if he didn't get injured in game six? And he says, yes, in my mind, yes, we would have won if I didn't get hurt. But that's just the nature of sports, you know? What ifs? It doesn't matter. It's if you do your deed or not. In my mind, I think we would have, but you never know. That's the hard part you've got to accept. And I agree with him to an extent. Now, he doesn't really say they would have won the series, which I'm not sure of, but they would have won game six, and then you've got a do or die game seven, which would have been awesome to see. But Klay gets injured game six, Toronto's able to pull it out, and, you know, that's what happened and what you have to live with. But man, it was so tough when he went down. There's no doubt about it. And one last tidbit I'll throw in from the article. I suggest you all go check it out. Subscribe to The Athletic. It's great. They do great stuff over there. But when it came on the topic of Kevin Durant, he said, I mostly just let him be, but I told him we could have the greatest dynasty ever, is what Klay said to KD. And I agree. But again, as we know, Kevin Durant is looking for something different. But honestly, this team, if they stayed healthy last year, championship. Healthy this year, championship. Like, they could have been one of the greatest dynasties ever, if not the greatest. I agree with Klay wholeheartedly. But again, like I said, Kevin Durant chose something else. That is fine. That's his prerogative. I hope whatever it is that he's looking for, I hope he finds it. And I hope he doesn't look back thinking that he made a mistake, because that would be too bad. But either way, the Warriors are still going to be good. They do go from, the way Klay put it, from one of the greatest teams of all time to still a very good team. So I'm excited to see this very good team. It's going to be tough to start without Klay. And some of the pieces on the roster aren't as good as they've been in years past, but they are younger, and it'll be interesting. Speaking of those pieces, I'm going to be talking about the first ever Locked On Warriors roster review here on Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. But first, have you had a long day at work, still stuck at the office? Treat yourself to the meal you deserve and have your favorite restaurants come to you. With DoorDash right now, our listeners can get $5 off their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter promo code LOCKEDON. That's promo code LOCKEDON, LOCKEDON. Trust me, that $5 is worth it, man. That's basically free delivery. So go get DoorDash and enter promo code LOCKEDON. What up, everybody? Welcome back to Locked On Warriors. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. What's happening? Just finished talking about the Warriors' new facility. Klay Thompson sit down with Marcus Thompson of The Athletic. Some interesting stuff there. But what I'm about to start is the Locked On Warriors roster review. And what we're going to do over the next 2 weeks until training camp starts is go through the roster. Now, this year, it's a little different because they have 14 players locked in. There's almost no way that a training camp invite or an undrafted player makes this team. No way. Because of the cap restrictions they face, because of the fact that they are hard capped. So they don't have any way to add literally any salary. The only way they could do it is if they made a trade where they're swapping salaries, or if the one non-guaranteed contract gets cut, which is Alphonso McKinney, which I don't see happening because Alphonso McKinney is most likely starting at small forward. But we'll get more into Alphonso McKinney in a future episode, because today we are going to start with the two-way contracts that the Warriors have filled recently with Damian Lee and Kai Bowman. And then we'll move on to a couple of young front court players that are hoping to have a future with the Warriors. And what we're going to do is we're going to look at what these guys did last year, whether it was in college or with the whatever pro team they were with, and then look ahead to this year and try and see what kind of roles they'll be able to fill out and what their future with the Warriors might be. And I'm going to start with shooting guard Damian Lee. Damian Lee spent about half the year last year with the Santa Cruz Warriors, about the other half with the Golden State Warriors, and he made an impact on both squads. I'll start with his G League numbers. He played 24 games for Santa Cruz, started all 24 of them, averaged 31.5 minutes, and gave them 20 points, just over 2 assists, and 6 rebounds. 6 rebounds is pretty damn good for a shooting guard. He also shot 83% from the free throw line and 40% from 3, which are all impressive numbers, but you have to look at the fact that it was the G League, that it's a different level of competition, but still a high level of competition. He did spend 32 games with the Golden State Warriors, and he was able to make an impact in a number of games. Now, the totals, the season totals for him, don't tell the whole story because there was garbage time minutes in there, and that's the problem, is garbage time can mess up your averages. He averaged 4.9 points, 2 rebounds, 0.4 assists. But that, like I said, doesn't tell the whole story. He had 5 different double-digit games, 1 20-point game, and he averaged just under 40% from 3. As you all know, I thought he would be on the team, have a full roster spot on this team this year. Unfortunately, he doesn't, but luckily, they were able to sign him to another two-way deal. And as far as this year is concerned, it's going to be similar to last year. Might get 30 to 45 games with the Warriors, and it's going to be important for them to use him properly because, like I said, they don't have the ability to add any salary. Klay Thompson is out for most of the season, so they're going to have to figure out how to use Damian Lee properly and his 45 days, excuse me, it's not 45 games, 45 days with the pro team, with the Golden State Warriors. So he could be an important piece, even though he is a two-way player, and if he repeats his performance from last year, I don't see how they don't sign him on to the actual team. I mean, I don't know. Like I said, I thought he'd be on the team this year, but apparently not. Apparently my scouting is terrible. Moving on to the second two-way player for the Warriors, that's Kai Bowman. He is a point guard out of Boston College. He's 6'2", and the comparison he gets a lot is Patrick Beverley. And that is because he's just a dogged defender. He's going to get after you. Even though he's only 6'2", he's 190 pounds and has a 6'7 wingspan on a 6'2 frame, which definitely helps him defend. He's a dog. He's going to get after you. And he's also a pretty solid shooter at this point in his career. Obviously, he still needs to continue to get better. And it's one of the things that I hate about the college game and the pro game is the difference in the three-point line, because it's hard to tell whose three-point shot is going to translate or not. But in 3 years at Boston College, he shot 38.8% from three. Went from 45 to 36 to 37. And I know you're wondering, well, that 45 looks pretty good. It's just how it goes. That might be the outlier. But if he can come in and be a 36, 37% three-point shooter in his NBA career, he'll be a player because the defense is there, no question. Solid ball handler, averaged 4 assists a game last year, just about 4 in his career. So he's consistent in that point. But the fact is the Warriors don't have a backup point guard right now. It's Jacob Evans, and they're going to try Jacob Evans, and hopefully it works out, because if it does, a lot of Jacob Evans' advantages, his size, his wingspan, his defense, all of that would work out great for the Warriors, because he would be able to be playing the point guard spot and all the things that allow him to defend bigger shooting guards and bigger small forwards would be even bigger advantages against smaller point guards. So hopefully it works out. But again, I can't help but remember, you know, 5 years ago or so when they tried to play Kent Bazemore at the point guard, and that surely didn't work. So hopefully it works out with Jacob Evans, but if not, who's the next option? Maybe Jordan Poole. I think Jordan Poole has the ability to do so. Would they want him to? I don't know. He's flashy and fun, but maybe they're not so sure about his decision-making. But I'll put it this way. If we're seeing a lot of Kai Bowman playing point guard for the Golden State Warriors this year, it means things haven't gone well. It means Steph probably got injured. Jacob Evans probably hasn't worked out. And that's nothing against Kai Bowman, but the fact is they have options that they're going to want to try before they go to Kai Bowman. And he will be with Santa Cruz for most of the year, I think. Probably get some run with Golden State, but not a lot. Like, Damian Lee is going to get I wouldn't be surprised if Damian Lee, they use every single day possible with him. Where Kai Bowman, I kind of doubt it. But we'll have to wait and see. I'm going to be interested to watch him down in the G League, because there's potential for him to be a future backup point guard on this team. So we'll just have to wait and see. But as far as this year is concerned, I don't think we'll see him up in Golden State much. The next two players I want to get to are a couple of young front court players, and we're going to be talking about them here on Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Locked On Warriors. Just went through the two-way contracts for the Dubs and just how they might fit in next year and what roles they'll play next year with the Warriors. Kai Bowman and Damian Lee. Damian Lee, I think, will have a much bigger role with the Warriors. Kai Bowman, we'll see in Santa Cruz a lot, but I'm interested in him and his development, because I do think he could have a future with the Dubs, and if not with the Dubs, I think in the NBA with his defense and potential from beyond the arc. But the ones we're going to talk about right now are two front court players, two young guys. One was a first-round pick 2 years ago. One of them was a second-round pick this last year, and they are Omari Spellman and Alan Smilagic. And I'll start with Spellman, who was a first-round pick 2 years ago of the Atlanta Hawks. He was picked with pick 30, and he didn't get a ton of time last year, but I'm going to go all the way back to his 1 year at Villanova, where he started 39 games, averaged 28 minutes a game, just over 10 points, 8 rebounds, just under 1 assist, was about 48% from the field. And here's the mark that, you know, opens a lot of people's eyes, 43% from three in college. He ended up going 65 of 150 for 43%, 70% free throw shooter. So, you know, could improve there. But it was that production that got him drafted in the first round, and especially that shooting potential. He is a large man. He's about 6'9". They have him listed at 245, but he's much bigger than that, which is a potential problem. It's definitely something the Warriors and whatever team he plays on is going to have to monitor and keep his weight down, keep his conditioning down, or keep his conditioning good. But last year with the Hawks, so I talked about his 1 year at Villanova. With the Hawks, he played 46 games, started 11, 17 and a half minutes, only 40% from the field, 34% from three, 71% from the free throw line, 4 rebounds, and was at about 6 points a game. Again, it's a little misleading because of the fact that, you know, you get into a lot of garbage time games, and that can mess up your averages. So he had 10 different double-digit games, and then he had a couple of games where he went 4 of 5 from 3, 3 of 5 from 3, 4 of 7, and 4 of 6. So he has abilities. He's got potential. I call it Mo Spates potential. And maybe it's just because they're both big guys that have nice jumpers. But a lot of people saw it as just a move to, because the Warriors traded Damian Jones for Amari Spellman, as a move to just try and lower their cap number because they're hard capped, which that was definitely a benefit of the move. But also they made the move because he does have potential. They're taking a flyer on him. And he's only been in the league 1 year, so they're going to see what he's got. But one of the problems is he does have a option date for, I believe, October 30th, where they have to decide whether or not to pick up his third-year option on his contract. So he's going to have to show up to training camp in shape, light, and he's going to have to show up playing efficient, knocking down shots efficiently for them to make that decision. So it's going to be a tough one. As far as this year goes, it kind of depends on whether they pick up his option or not. If they pick up his option, it means they're pretty high on him, and he'll probably get some time to show what he can do. If they don't pick up his option, it means they're not very high on him, and he's not a priority as far as minutes go. So that's something to watch for, especially during preseason games. During training camp, how does he look as far as his fitness, his conditioning, all that stuff. But the potential's there. The shooting potential is absolutely there. So they might have found, you know, a stretch big that can come off the bench. Or they just made a move to lower their salary cap. Either way, it was a benefit for the Warriors. So that's something to look for as soon as training camp starts. How does Amari Spellman look? The next player we're going to look at is Alen Smailagić, the 19-year-old second-rounder from Serbia. He is really intriguing, and the Warriors have been intrigued by him for about 4 years now. They have done everything they could to get him into their system. They did everything they could to get him on the G League team last year, made a trade to get him to play for Santa Cruz, and then made a trade in this year's draft to be able to draft him. Which is one of my favorite stories because David Griffin is a gangster. He's the general manager of the New Orleans Pelicans. He had pick 39. And, you know, I don't know how he feels about Alen Smailagić as a player. Maybe he loves him. Maybe he really wanted him. But my belief is he didn't really want anyone at 39. He's already got a bunch of young players on his team. Knows the Warriors are obsessed with Smailagić and says, well, I'll draft him and try and get a couple assets from the Warriors. So he drafts him, hits up the Warriors. Warriors give up 2 second-round picks to get Smailagić, and David Griffin turns and flips those 2 second-round picks for Derek Favors, who's an NBA-caliber starting center. I just thought it's one of my favorite moves of all time, or at least of drafts. I love the draft, so it was cool wheeling and dealing by David Griffin, and the Warriors got their guy. Smailagić. I'm just going to call him Smiley. That's his nickname. So when you hear me say Smiley, that's who I'm talking about moving forward. It's really interesting because he played 47 games for Santa Cruz last year, which I commend him for because there's not a lot of 18-year-olds that want to play in the G League or play overseas because you're still a teenager going up against grown men. And the thing is, this teenager held his own going up against grown men. He averaged 9 points a game, 4 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 block, 1 steal. And again, the numbers, the averages are misleading because he actually spent a good amount of the season sitting behind Jahlil Cousins, I think it is, DeMarcus's brother who was with the G League team. So Alen Smailagić had a couple of 20-point games and had 22 double-digit games. He also had a couple of games with 4 blocks. He had games where he was able to get double-digit rebounds. He was very solid for an 18-year-old playing against grown men. Now, one of the biggest things about him, he's 6'10", you know, 215, still filling out. So there's still room to work with him, a lot of room to work with him, obviously. I actually thought they might sign him to a 2-way contract, because I think even regardless, he's going to spend a good amount of time in the G League. But one of the knocks on him is his 3-point shooting. the form looks okay, but the averages, the results aren't there. They weren't there last year as he shot 34%. That would be pretty sweet. They'd definitely take 34%. He shot 24% from three. So that's something he'll have to work on if he's going to be playing power forward. If the three never comes, you'll probably slot him in as an undersized center, which isn't terrible because he also showed a lot of ability during summer league as far as, you know, shot blocker. He can handle the ball a little bit. He had a couple of monster dunks. So you saw flashes of the ability that he has. But again, he's still just 19, still learning the game, learning. I mean, man, he's still learning being in America. You know, he spent 1 year here in Santa Cruz. So he's still learning a lot. But as far as this upcoming season goes with the Warriors, it's tough to tell. It's tough to tell because we know that the organization loves him. And when they like someone, they might go out of their way to give them playing time. But at the same time, I think they know how much development he still needs. I think it's more along the lines next year that he'll actually be in the rotation. Well, not this upcoming year, 2020, 2021, that he could be in the rotation. But in 2019-20, even though he's a full roster guy, he's got a roster spot, I think he'll be used similar to a two-way player. Because there is a number of people ahead of him at the two positions that he could potentially play. Because you're going to see Draymond. You're going to see Pascal get the minutes behind Draymond. You could see McKinney get some power forward minutes. And you could even see Spellman get some power forward minutes. As far as center goes, Willie Cauley-Stein, Kevon Looney, you could see Spellman get some time there. And then Draymond is obviously going to get some time there too. So we could see him at some point, but I doubt it will be a regular thing. And drafting him was a future play. I mean, these have been... Alan Smilagic has been a future play for about 4 years for the Warriors. And I think next year, 2020, 2021, is when we'll start to see some returns. But for right now, I think it'll mostly be in the G League. But again, something to focus on throughout next year with the Santa Cruz Warriors and even with the Golden State Warriors and their new coaching development staff. How does Smiley develop? Thank you guys so much for listening. I hope you enjoy these roster reviews that we're going to continue to do. We're going to get more into the rotation players coming up this week and throughout next week. That was kind of the theme this week. A lot of the guys, the two-way players and then the two young guys, aren't going to have huge impacts, huge roles with the Warriors, but we're getting into those guys coming up soon. Thank you guys so much for listening. I'll be back with another episode of Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily podcast on the Golden State Warriors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.